Lord, I just pray today as Pastor Matt preaches, Father God, that every word that comes forth from his mouth today, Lord, would just that we would receive everything that you have for us today, Lord. We'd receive your truth, because it's your truth that sets us free, Lord. So we just commit the word into your hands in Jesus' name.
Bless you. Please take a seat. If we could have that first slide up, please, Lillian. This morning I want to talk to us about taking responsibility. And if you've ever been at a point in your life where there's been something that you needed to step up to, and perhaps you've run away from that, or you've shirked away from that, or you've really struggled with that, then I hope today's message will encourage you and help you. And we've probably all been at that point at some point in our life. And I just believe that God wants to speak into this whole area of responsibility that we have. When I was 18 and Melissa was 17, we met and we started to go out together. And I think back in those days it was called going steady. 3 weeks into our going steady, we started to talk about marriage. It came up, I don't know how. And so 3 weeks in, we're talking about getting married. I think she'd picked her bridesmaid and it was all progressing rather quickly. I'm glad you didn't know that at that point. And then, so we were both caught up with this excitement of wanting to get married and wanting to have a life together. And then over the next month or so, it started to dawn on me, what on earth are you thinking? Do you realise what's involved with getting married? The responsibility as a husband of providing a home and doing all these things. And so over the next 5 weeks, I'm thinking to myself, I hardly even know this girl. And I started to really freak out, and the weight of responsibility came upon me, and I realised that I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. And so in a sense, that was my opportunity to break up with Melissa and run away because I couldn't handle the situation. And that's what I did. So we broke up. So 3 weeks after 3 weeks we're going to get married. After 8 weeks we've broken up. And then the next 2 months I began to contemplate what was going on. And over those next 2 months I realised that I did love Melissa and I wanted to be with her and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And it took that separation, that time to think and work through that. So then we got back together and then we decided, well, let's do this properly. Let's get to know each other. Let's work through the process and grow into that responsibility. And about 18 months after that, we ended up getting married, and now that's nearly 35 years ago. And I just think back to that point in my life where I ran away from responsibility because really I was too young, I was too inexperienced, I didn't know what I was doing. But then when I had time to think it through, I actually stood up to the plate. And I'm so glad that I did, because all of our kids and grandkids wouldn't exist if we didn't get married. So has there been a time in your life where you know that you need to step up into something, into a situation where you need to take responsibility, and you've shirked away from that, you've run away from that? Well, I just pray today as we go through this message and through this word that the Holy Spirit would speak to you about this whole area of taking responsibility. So you can turn in your Bibles, or it's going to be up on the screen, and there's three scriptures that I want to focus on this morning regarding responsibility. Now, in the NIV, there's just three scriptures in the New Testament that use this word responsibility. And the first one we're going to look at is Matthew 27:4. So this is the picture of this scene is where Judas is coming up to the religious leaders. And they were looking for an opportunity to get at Jesus because, you know, they couldn't stand what he was doing. They couldn't stand the miracles. They couldn't stand that he was showing them up as the religious leaders, that he was the one that spoke with authority and he was doing the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And they hated him. And their objective was to kill him. But they wanted a way in because it was hard to get to him. It was hard to... Anyway, so Judas was the guy that said, for 30 pieces of silver, I'll betray him and give him to you. So Judas betrays Jesus. And then... this conversation happens when he goes back to the religious leaders and he says this in verse 4. He says, I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. Now, listen to their reply. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. You know what? They wanted to kill Jesus. And then they wanted to blame it on someone else. So Judas did all the dirty work. And then when he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done this, I've realized what I've done, they said, that's your responsibility. That's not ours. And that's the way, that is a great picture of how the enemy works. The enemy wants you to do certain things. And when you cave in and do them, it's like... that's your responsibility. You've got to own up to that. The enemy never wants to take responsibility. The next verse is a similar one. Same chapter, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It's your responsibility. Once again, Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate had the power to set him free or to crucify him, to condemn him to death. The power was in his hands. And yet his wife, Pilate's wife, had a dream about this man Jesus. And she said, don't have anything to do with him. And now Pilate is standing before the crowd who are jeering, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And yet he's the one that's got to make the decision. What do I do here? Do I crucify him? Do I set him free? And what he did was he gave into the crowd and he said, let his blood be on your head. And he sentenced him to death and he said, it's your responsibility. How's that? I'm sending you to death, but it's not my responsibility, it's theirs. Because they were jeering and they made me do it. You ever heard that one? The devil made me do it. So these are two examples of people that, in a sense, got other people to do their dirty work and didn't take responsibility for their own actions. Now we go down to Acts chapter 6, verse 3. A very different setting. Jesus has gone to heaven. Holy Spirit's come. Day of Pentecost. The early church was birthed. There's amazing things happening everywhere. And there's an issue that happens and the apostles need to have people being looked after and yet they wanted to dedicate their time to the preaching and the reading of the word. So in chapter 6, verse 3 of the book of Acts, they make this statement. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit of wisdom and we will turn this responsibility over to them. So we look at the structure of the church. You had the apostles. They were teaching, they were preaching, they were doing all these incredible things. The church was growing. There was widows and people with needs, and people need to be caring for them and looking after them. So it was time to expand, to raise up more leaders and to give them responsibility. And it was a godly order. And they chose men that were full of the Holy Spirit to wait on tables. People like Stephen, who saw God when he was being stoned to death. People like Philip, who was an evangelist and was seeing people saved, being transported in the Spirit, seeing all sorts of things happen. And these were the people that were chosen to wait on tables and given the responsibility to love and to care for people. These people stood up and accepted the responsibility that was given to them. They didn't shirk away. They didn't say, no, we can't do it. We're not good enough. Get someone else to do it. I'm too busy. Completely different from the first two scriptures. Let's look at the word responsibility. Comes from the Latin word responsus. And basically means to respond. You know what? When something is there and you need to step up, it's basically saying to take responsibilities, you need to respond. There's nothing worse when there's an opportunity where there's something that you need to step into and there's no response. No response is basically saying, I can't do this, or I won't do this, or I'm not interested. To take responsibility is to respond. Now, we're going to get lots of opportunities in life to step into things and take responsibility. The key in this is, what does God want you to do? He doesn't want you just to respond to everything and get busy and be spreading yourself too thin. That's not what this is about. This is about, God, what do I need to step into and respond to? And we'll look at those different areas shortly. So our next slide talks about what is God's responsibility. Because we don't want to do what God's responsibility is, and we don't want God to do what our responsibility is. So what is God responsible for? Well, I've just got a few things here. Number one, he draws us. You ever read that scripture about that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin? It's not your job to draw someone to Jesus. You can speak into their life. Your words can be powerful because the Holy Spirit can move on that, and you can certainly play a role in this. But it's God's responsibility to draw people to life, to salvation. His responsibility is also to save us. You see, you can't save someone. You can't make someone become a Christian. You can play a big part in that, and that's the thing that we all need to do. But the reality is, it's God that saves people. As he moves on their heart and convicts them of their sin and a need for a Savior, that he's the only one that can erase their past. He's the only one that can give them hope and a future. He's the only one that can do that. And we play a part in that, but we need to understand it's not us that saves people. It is him, and he works in us and through us, and we play a role. But we cannot save people in ourselves. Another responsibility of God is that he gives us all the tools that we need. If you're here today and you don't understand about how to grow in God, I want you to understand that he gives you all the tools that that you need. He gives you things like the Word of God. He gives you things like prayer. He gives you things like worship. He gives you all those sorts of things. And as you grow and develop in your relationship with him, everything you need is available to you. It's not like we're in a little island on the other side of the world and we've never heard of Jesus or we've never seen the scriptures. We have everything that we need at our fingertips. It's been made available to us through God. Another thing God is responsible for is He gives us a plan for our life. You may be sitting here today and say, well, I've got my life all planned out, all mapped out. I know exactly what I'm going to do. But is that God's plan? See, God has a plan for your life. And the best thing that we can do as we grow in our relationship with Him and we seek Him, that His plan unfolds in our life, and then it's like He drops things in our heart, and then it's all of a sudden it's like our plan lines up with God's plan, and that's His plan and His purpose for our life. So He's responsible for that, to give us this plan, this purpose. Yet we have the responsibility of finding out what that is. So there's some things that God's responsible for. And what I don't want us to do is to try and do things that only God can do. Because if we try and step into that space of God, then it's in a sense, it's like, well, we don't need God because I can do this. You ever try and do that and realize that it's not working? I need God. So let's understand what God is responsible for and what we are not responsible for. Now, on the flip side of that, our next slide talks about what are you responsible for? So the first one there, acknowledge your sin and repent. So we talked about how God draws people. The Holy Spirit convicts us. He's done everything that He can to bring us to repentance. Yet, we need to acknowledge our sin and we need to repent. I remember in my own salvation experience, there was such an overwhelming desire to want to be free and clean. And when He just worked upon me so much that I had to respond that night. And when I prayed that prayer, as I followed the words of the preacher that night, God, I'm sorry, I repent, forgive me of my sin. You see, God had got me to that point, and yet I had to do my part. I acknowledged my sin. I repented, and He came in, and He saved me, and He washed me, and He cleaned me up, and my life did a 180-degree turn that night, and it was never the same since. But I had to play my part. I was responsible for repenting, for asking for His forgiveness, for opening my heart and allowing Him to come in. That was my responsibility. But He's the one that saved me. Amen. Another point there is fully give your life to God. You see, God draws you. God saves you. God gives you everything that you need. He's got a plan for your life. He wants the very best for you. He hasn't got a plan that's going to harm you. He's got a plan that prospers you. And yet, the thing that often can restrict that or hold us back is we don't fully give our lives over to Him. We want to hold back areas, or we don't want to allow Him into that part of our life, or circumstances have happened like disappointment or unbelief. And one of the biggest things that restricts you from reaching your full potential in Him that He has planned for you is not fully yielding your life over to God. That's our responsibility, each and every one of us. And if that means working through things, even asking the question, God, is there areas in my life that I haven't fully yielded to You? Are there things in my life that are holding me back? Is there unforgiveness? Is there unbelief? Is there those circumstances that in my past that I'm still holding on to that in a sense are holding me back? They're like a chain. They're restricting me. They're stopping me from moving forward. Maybe that you need to ask those questions. It's our responsibility to fully give our lives over to God. The third one there is to live out His purpose for your life. So as we said, God has a plan for your life. It's our responsibility to find out what that plan is. When you do that, it's like those desires and those plans that you had, all of a sudden, they don't seem so important anymore. You know, wanting to be full forward for St Kilda and a VFL star before it turned into AFL didn't seem so important anymore. Plus, I was hopeless at football, so it was probably never going to work. But sometimes we have these plans, you know, oh God, I want to do this, I want to be famous, I want to achieve this. And all of a sudden, when you yield your life to Him, it's like all that stuff just disappears. It's not important anymore. And what you find important and what stirs you and what becomes your passion is the calling that He's placed upon your life and the things that He wants you to pursue. So you live that out by finding out what that is and then applying it to your life and walking in it. And the last one there is be responsible for yourself and for others. Those first two verses we looked at, people did things and they didn't want to take responsibility for them. So it was like they blamed someone else or they shifted the responsibility onto somebody else as they weren't the ones that were going to cop the blame, okay? When we take responsibility for ourselves, it's like we stand up to the plate. I need to do this, therefore I take responsibility for this. One thing I really want to encourage us in this year is taking responsibility for our faith. Taking responsibility for what we believe in. And over the last few weeks we've been talking about, you know, our thinking and believing. I want to encourage us this year to be believing for things that you've never believed for before in your own personal life and in the life of this church and in this community. A few of the ladies were at Tatura on Friday night, and one of the speakers there is from Hillsong in Melbourne. She talked about when her parents went overseas as missionaries, and I think she was just a little baby at the time. When they got to this country, there was a jeep or something that hit them and ran into them. And her mother was in a coma, and her dad, they told him that he was going to be a quadriplegic and he was never going to walk again. And they'd only been in this country for a day or so as missionaries to serve God, to give their lives to God, to do everything that God had called them to do. And it was like that their lives were going to be snatched away. And this little baby stood up in the pulpit the other night and talked about how her dad said, I'm not taking this. And he got up and walked, and they said he would never walk again. And the mum was in a coma and all the family had come over to pay their last respects. And her dad had said, no, this isn't good enough. And she got up out of her coma and they both were living miracles. And this little baby, that's what she was raised in, that both her parents were walking miracles. When things like that happen, no wonder you have a faith level that you expect to see God move. And I think part of our problem in this society is that sometimes we believe for things and they don't work out. So all of a sudden it's like our level of faith and our level of belief starts to dwindle because we get disappointed. I want to encourage you this year. Let's rekindle that. Let's see that rise within us. Let's believe for things that only God can do. It's not your responsibility to save this community. It's not your responsibility to do certain things. We can play a part in that, but only God can do that. Let's start to believe for things in your family. Those loved ones that are unsaved, that have walked away. That circumstance of health or finances that just seems like a mountain and think, God, how could this ever change? That relationship. Start to believe. Start to confess. Start to walk in a way that the circumstance isn't the focus. What God says about it is the focus. Let's start to believe this year. Let's start to have a faith level that rises this year. We want to see some things accomplished in our church as far as finances and things like that. We can't do that on our own. It's a supernatural God that can cause that to happen. Yet we can play our part. We can pray, we can believe, we can give, we can do those things. Yet let's believe for something that is not mediocre, that is not more, maybe we could get there, but let's believe for something. There's no way we could do it unless God turns up and God makes it happen, amen? So let's start to believe for those things. I want to encourage you. Stir up the faith and believe for things, whether it's in this place, in your home, things that you could not achieve on your own. Let's step up and take responsibility in the area of faith. But let's also step up and take responsibility in the areas that he's called you to, like the home. I watched a little clip this week. In fact, guys, do you want to come back up on the stage? I watched this little clip this week of Jenny Morrison, and she is the wife of the Prime Minister. And Jenny was talking about her kids. She's got two daughters, a 9 and 11-year-old. And they asked her about social media. And she said that my girls at that age have no social media, no phones, no nothing. And she said one of her daughters, which I assume is the 11-year-old, came up to her mum and said, "Mum, no social media." She said, "It's not the 80s, you know." And this was Jenny's response, which I love. She said, "No, it's not the 80s. It's much worse." You see, being a parent means that you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities to step up to the plate as a husband, as a wife, as a parent. And that means, because you love your children, you don't let them do anything they want. You put boundaries in place. Laura was telling us of a 13-year-old, a car that was pulled over in Maroopna a number of weeks ago. And a 13-year-old child was driving the car, and his mum was sitting next to him. And the police pulled them up, and they said, "What on earth is going on here?" And she said, "Oh, he kept nagging me and nagging me, so I just let him drive." Talk about shirking away from responsibility. So I want to encourage us this year about taking responsibility for doing the things that God has called us to do. As a husband, as a wife, within your marriage, within your home, raising your children, step up to the plate and take responsibility. Don't abdicate your responsibility. When a response is called for, don't run away or shirk. If you need to learn and to grow, there's so many things that are at your fingertips. Can we have that techie brekkie slide? I'll just give you one little example. In a few weeks, Patrick is running a thing called techie brekkie. And there's going to be coffee, tea and toast to start off. And then he's going to look at things like internet safety and privacy, phones, tablets, computers. How can you as a parent take responsibility in your home for safeguarding your children in these areas? See, what a great thing to learn. And all this stuff is at our fingertips. So there'll be more information about that, but I encourage you in a few weeks' time, this is an area as parents that you can step up and take responsibility in help raising your children in the ways of God. Amen? All right. Let's all stand. And I want to leave you with this one last question. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about responsibility? Let's all stand and pray. Hallelujah. God, I thank you that you are a God that draws us. Holy Spirit, that you draw us and convict us of our sin and our need for a Savior. That Jesus, you paid the price on the cross for us to be saved, to come back in a relationship with you, just as Kristen was talking about in communion this morning. And Lord, that you give us a plan, a purpose for our life, and you give us everything that we need to be able to follow you. Lord, you take care of all those responsibilities. And the responsibility that you place on us is to yield, open our hearts, to acknowledge our sin, Lord, to repent and walk in your ways in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be people that find out your plan and purpose for our life. Lord, that we fully walk in that. And Lord, that we step up to the plate as far as responsibilities in the home, as far as responsibilities in the church, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, the gifts and the talents and the things that you've placed upon our life, that we would step into that in all its fullness, Lord. That we would not shirk back and say, oh, someone else can do it, someone's better than me. No, you've placed things upon each and every one of our lives here. And Lord, I pray, let us not shrink back. Let us not shirk away from responsibility. But let's do all that you've laid upon our heart. Lord, in the community, Lord, let us not, Lord, pull back. Lord, let us not just leave it up to somebody else. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that those things that you're speaking to us about, each and every one of us individually, personally, Lord, that we would step up into the responsibility that you're laying upon our hearts right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I just really believe 2019 is going to be an amazing year. We're going to see amazing things happen in this church. But I believe for amazing things to happen in your own personal lives, in your families, in the opportunities that you have in the community that we live in. Holy Spirit, just lay upon each of our hearts, Lord, things that you're laying upon us, things that you're putting your finger on, things that you're highlighting to us, that maybe there's areas that we need to step into and take responsibility in Jesus' name. Amen.